Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Woo! Today's opening tip in yesterday's All-Star game, Kemba Walker went behind the back to Joel Embiid for a windmill slam. Kirk, are you more impressed by Kemba's pass or Joel's finish?
I'm impressed by both because when you have, first of all, that was a nice dime, but when you got a seven-footer who did, I wouldn't call it a windmill. I'd call it a little baby ceiling fan. But that was impressive right there.
Baby ceiling fan. This is coming from someone who can dunk next to two people who cannot. I'm sorry, I'm just making assumptions
once.
Here.
Once, Rich.
You dunked once. Was it on happened. Someone or just?
No, there's a reason I'm Nick the Pick. It wasn't because I could dunk.
We'll get into Nick's childhood a little bit later in the show. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside our ESPN Warriors insider Nick Friedell and Nick. The NBA champion, Mr. Kendrick Perkins. Hey. Very nice to have you back. Coming up, we'll talk about an incredible dunk contest that ended in controversy. Again, poor Aaron Gordon. But which dunker had the better night? Derrick Jones Jr.? Or AG, we will break it all down. First, though, let's talk about the weekend. Well, that worked. 10 of the best basketball players in the world absolutely going at it in an all-star game that delivered on every level as part of an all-star weekend that delivered on every level. Play was actually competitive, finally, but it was more than that. The NBA is at its best when it leans into the things it does best. Elite athleticism, megawatt star power, cultural relevance, social responsibility. And last night in Chicago felt so good because we got all of that. The evening started with pitch-perfect tributes to Kobe Bryant, first by Jennifer Hudson, and then from Common. And then Common rolled right into some elite-level player intros. I mean, the man found something to rhyme with Antetokounmpo. He is clearly a national hero. And then we had the game itself. This year, in a new format that included the score being reset with every quarter and then something called Elam scoring at the end, where the clock goes off and guys are simply competing playground style to get up to a certain number. The changes were not popular when they were announced. They seemed complicated and gimmicky, and they easily could have felt that way on the court last night. Except the NBA did something brilliant that gave the whole experiment a real heart. First, it connected the game to two local charities, assigning one to each team and putting a $100,000 donation up for grabs for each quarter. Then, the league made sure that players knew exactly who they were playing for, sitting the kids involved right at the baseline. So in the end, we got 100 or hundreds of underserved kids treated to a blockbuster basketball game. The arena got much-needed energy boosts there, and All-Stars got the extra kick of motivation that's been so sorely lacking in recent years. It is hard, it turns out, to dog it when 20 feet away from you is a kid whose life you can help change. And in the first two quarters, we saw first Team LeBron and then Team Giannis turn up the jets accordingly. By the end of the third quarter, the game had a postseason atmosphere with all kinds of plays you do not expect to see in an All-Star game. I talked with LeBron James about it afterward.
You guys taking charges. You had coaches challenges in an All-Star game.
Yeah. And timeouts, setting up plays. We drawing plays. You know what I'm saying? Let's get a stop. We get multiple stops. It felt like a real game going down the stretch like that. And, you know, to be out there with the greatest competitors in our game, it's even more, you got to be even more focused because any little slippage, you can pay for it. So it was a fun turnout.
Oh, yes. It got more focused in the fourth quarter. You want defense in an All-Star game? How is this? In the first three quarters, players were shooting 56% from the floor. In the fourth quarter, with the rosters winnowed down to the game's very best, players shot just 36%. Of the 14 blocks, 7 were in the fourth quarter. Giannis's block on LeBron alone was epic. Chris Paul was everywhere. It was he, by the way, who suggested this format change to Adam Silver. There's Kyle Lowry throwing his body into every play with abandon, and in the end, it was a Lowry foul that led to the Anthony Davis free throw that ended the game. But it was clear afterward, pretty much everyone involved was a winner. Both charities were going home with significant money. Fans got a game for the ages, and players got not only a renewed sense of competition, but the feeling they had done right by Kobe Bryant in a game that had set out to honor him. Kawhi Leonard, who won the MVP trophy that has been newly given Kobe's name, spoke to me about the advice Kobe once gave him and what to do at All-Star.
You know, I think it was my first All-Star game. He asked me how many shots I shot in the game, and I think it was about 18 or 20 at the time for me, and then he was like, I shot it 47 times, so, you know, get your attempts up. So, you know, that's the type of competitor he was. He just, you know, wanted to win, go out, and, you know, show everybody he's the best player.
Oh, yes, that's Kobe. And Kawhi did not have 47 shots last night, but he and the other All-Stars certainly repped Bryant well. They gave us their best. The whole league did, all weekend. And, hey, that worked. Perk, were you surprised at just how competitive this All-Star game was?
No, I wasn't. I knew they were going to come out and honor Kobe. Mm-hmm. I knew those guys, the guys were going to come out and put it all out on the line. But I was watching. I was like, wow, is this the NBA Finals? I mean, when it got down the stretch and LeBron and Giannis guarding each other and you see the jump balls and the tie-ups, the fouls, the challenges and all this, I'm like, wow, I know Kobe is proud right now. But, you know, it was a few guys to me that came in off the bench that set the tone early for them. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul, Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. And I thought Rudy Gobert did a great job of embracing the moment as a first-time All-Star. And when you see that, it was beautiful to watch, Rachel. And I think, you know, it was probably the best All-Star game I've seen since probably I've been living.
Were you live in 2001?
Yeah, but this one was beautiful.
Man, in 2001, Allen Iverson was the MVP.
I already knew that was coming. But no, it was beautiful. I know Mamba is proud.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. I just want to make sure that moving forward they maintain it. Because to Perk's point, so much of this was honoring Kobe. Sure. And they did. They played hard. It was fun to watch in the end. But we are walking a very tight rope here. And Charles Barkley said it over and over again in the lead up to this game. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to make sure that there are no injuries in the All-Star game. Because while the intensity was there, and it was great, and it should be there at the end of games for sure, the first time somebody gets hurt, everyone will go, a $40 million player got hurt in an All-Star game that really means nothing.
$40 million players get hurt in practice. Should you just never practice?
When? When's the last time somebody got seriously...
Luka Doncic just got hurt in practice. He sat out for 2 weeks. Obviously, that's not a serious injury. But Boogie Cousins got hurt in practice this summer working out. He's been out since then. It happens.
The first time an All-Star suffers a serious injury, the tenor of the conversation is going to be completely different. So in the moment, as a fan, I'm sitting there going, this is awesome. This is how it should be down the stretch. And the players seem to enjoy themselves. But hearing Charles's comments echo in my brain at the end of that game, watching Kyle Lowry dive all over the place, I started thinking, oh, boy, because there's that other side to it. And the other side is the first time somebody suffers any kind of major injury, everybody's going to go, oh, no, what did we do? So I want to make sure this continues moving forward, but I want everybody to be cautious because Charles is right, and it's going to be something that everybody has to keep an eye on.
I don't know. I feel like Paul George got hurt so badly in a Team USA exhibition, it didn't stop people from saying we should participate in Team USA or even stop having Team USA exhibitions. So I know the threat of someone getting hurt is always there. Obviously, we never want anybody to get hurt. But I do think that the idea of turning an All-Star game, which is advertised as the best pickup game on earth, into actually that, it was such an energizing thing for the league. And I think it is really going to have some carryover going forward. There was an issue at the end because the game did end on a made free throw. Some of the players did not like that. Joel Embiid had something to say.
Uh-oh.
Tough loss. But to me, it was probably the best All-Star game ever. Everybody competed. I have fun. But I don't agree that you should be able to win on the free throw, so I'm not happy about that. But overall, great weekend. I have a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right, so what do you think? Should the rules be tweaked so that you don't end on a free throw? I mean, there's still a little drama because of the missed first one. LeBron made the point that, hey, NBA Finals games end on a free throw sometimes. What do you think?
You can't tweak it because if you did, then you'd have Rambis and McHale beating the hell out of each other trying to, to send the guys back to the line. So I don't see what the answer is in the moment. The league will continue to work on it. And, Rach, I think it's only a matter of time before we see the Elam ending moving forward in a lot more places than just the end of the All-Star game. I think there's a lot of interest now. Mm-hmm. We saw it in TBT the last few summers.
Yep.
The NBA is, I'm sure, going to work with this moving forward, but I don't see how it can end any other way, because then you have a real chance of guys who are so competitive wanting to send them back to the free throw line to make sure that a basket doesn't win the game.
Yeah. What do you think, that it's okay to end in a free throw or no?
No, I'm going the opposite way. I think you can tweak it at the end, and this is how. I think you don't want to end on a free throw. You want to end on a made bucket, you know, but guys are so smart. So guys will say, you know what, I'm just going to foul you. Because my thing is that if you get fouled, take it out, replay the possession, right? Take it out, inbound the ball. But the defense and coaches are so smart, they're going to say, well, we're just going to foul you and make you take it out until you miss a shot. But what you do is you penalize the defense and take a point every time that they foul the guys. So to make everybody honest.
Kendrick, That's really going for it.
I'm just saying. That's the only way you could do it.
Well, we'll see whether they make that tweak or not.
They don't have to, though.
Well, I think it's fine either way. It's not like last night didn't have drama ending on a free throw. It still worked. And your point about the TBT, the basketball tournament, watching that this summer is where Chris Paul saw it. He saw it work so well. He called Adam Silver. They've been working for a few years to tweak the All-Star game. And this also might have a ripple effect in terms of this midseason tournament that Adam Silver has been talking about. One of the big pushbacks has been, hey, don't tinker with the game so much, right? All the different changes make people uncomfortable. Well, this All-Star game had some pretty significant changes to the format, and it was complicated, and it did run the risk of being gimmicky, but it worked. Right. So I wonder if Adam now has more political capital with the other owners to say, hey, trust me that this could work also. Maybe in that midseason tournament, we see this Elam ending same way with this, because that I don't see it happening in NBA Finals, but for a midseason tournament.
But let's not act like the East wasn't up by double figures and the West came walked it down. Like,
yeah, well,
Team Giannis was up, right?
Team Giannis was up.
Was up by double figures. So let's, you know, Joel, I love you, but hey, y'all blew the game. Y'all had multiple chances to win.
Just like the West was up back in 2001, and Allen Iverson led a heroic comeback in the final 9 minutes, and that is why that was also a fantastic All-Star game, and he was MVP. I'm just, you know, Google kids. It's fantastic to watch. Coming up, we're going to discuss John Beilein's future in Cleveland. Mm. It is now in immediate doubt. Is there any way for his run in Cleveland to still work? First, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date, 2001, one of LA's finest.
They are all plus 80% free throw shooters. Excellent at the line.
For a minute, I thought it was a distant replay of a free throw.
Oh, no way.
Oh!
It's good!
What was that, like 88 foot?
Look at that. Come on, Baron Davis.
That was like the Stephen Adams of the night. Should have gave us a shimmy. BD. Making bad moves.
Bad moves. Whenever you're ready.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
Make, miss.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
What it do, baby? Make surprises. One of the more surprising moments from the weekend. Chris Paul on the receiving end of a Russell Westbrook club. Perk, did you know he could
absolutely do this? Listen, Rachel, CP is...
Look at that face.
He's class of 2003, Mickey D's class. We know CP could get up. And he's under the Thunder organization right now. I'm telling you, they put an extra 5 inches on your vertical like they did me at one point in my career.
There you go.
And here's the plant-based diet.
Right.
Because Jay Adonde was tweeting about this last night.
No, that's no joke.
Good for Chris Paul for making it happen. And, Rach, he is a big reason, you mentioned it, why the game got so much more competitive. So a good weekend for Chris.
Yep, he not only recommended the change, but he personally was competitive. Stop me if you've heard that before about Chris Paul. Miss inhibitions. We saw two half-court makes this weekend, one from Trey and one from Luka. Should the NBA stop giving guys a missed shot if they attempt a last-second heave? Because I think we'd like to see more guys try that and less just dribble the ball out.
Teams should stop worrying about in contract negotiations. They should delete these from the record because right. I think that's what messes guys up.
Oh, I'm
so let
sorry.
It fly.
Nick, have you ever heard a team delete something in a contract?
Absolutely not. They hold everything against you.
Yep.
I'm running to the bench with the ball. Look at Steven Adams. You see Big Steve?
That's amazing. These are really fun. And I did like, by the way, the one in the Rising Stars game because Luca over Trey. That's a great relationship. And the two of them leaning in together to see if the ball would fall was fantastic. Make misses at the end of the Rising Stars game. Ja and Zion tried to put on a dunk show that they missed every single one of them. I was upset that Ja Morant wasn't in the dunk contest, but maybe it was for the best.
Listen, you know what? Even their misses is impressive. Like, even when they miss, they're impressive.
No, that's fair.
I tell you what, those two guys are very mature, and they got a lot of courage. But, Ja, you got to finish there. Oh, look at Zion. Rach, I wish I had them hot.
Rach, we need them in the dunk contest.
Yes. And, by the way, this is great. The fact that they are just doing this, banging around on that stage, which was a huge stage even Friday night, I like that because I think that we're not getting these guys in the dunk contest because everyone's afraid to mess up. And just, you know, go out and have some fun. We'll have a little fun with you.
I'm just jealous. God ain't blessed me with those hops.
none of us, Kirk. None of us. Missed security crunch time last night. Embiid grabbing the LeBron miss. Kawhi swoops in, rips it out of his hands. Whoa. How does he make that look so easy, Kirk?
That's grown man right there. That's Kawhi. That's
look at that.
That's Jordan type. That's that Jordan defense. That's Let me get that.
The claw is going to claw.
Let me get that.
The claw is going to claw.
Look
at that. Well, that was a Michael Jordan thing. He made that mistake with his first number one overall draft pick as a manager was Kwame Brown. He said the biggest thing is that he didn't realize Kwame couldn't palm a basketball. And ever since then, he said that every player he drafted as an executive or owner had to be able to palm a basketball because to him, that was such an essential part of the game, obviously with Kawhi.
You know what, Rachel, I got a little kid on my team play with my son Kingston named Kate and he snatched the ball like that.
Woo! Well, can he do that? LeBron on the break with a little fake behind the back. Kobe did a similar move in the 1998 All-Star game, and there was so much Kobe influence everywhere. LeBron told me that every time he looked up, that number 24 was staring at him in the back of some other jersey.
I was watching on TV, Rach, and every time I'm watching somebody go up for a shot, I'm going, wait, Kobe?
Right.
I mean, that part was very cool. The NBA hit on so many different levels, and LeBron has been so good in the last few weeks at carrying out all the different things he's had to do. I thought that was especially a great moment for him.
And by the way, not just for Kobe Bryant, but David Stern, too, was mentioned all throughout the ceremony the whole weekend. And when you talk about, hey, he would have wanted it to be a competitive game, that's true of Kobe. Kendrick, that's true of David Stern, right?
Absolutely.
That man got what he wanted.
He did. He put his foot down also. But you have to give a lot of credit to Adam Silver, too, because – you know, one thing I love about Adam Silver is that he's open-minded. He listens to suggestions from players. He's one of the commissioners that players can actually pick up the phone and call.
Yes.
And he'll answer and listen to you.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
I love
when
Adam
you think of the respect that the NBA players have for Adam Silver right now, and you compare that to where NFL players are with Roger Goodell, where baseball players are with Rob Manfred, and where hockey players are with Gary Bettman, Adam continues to show why that relationship has maintained itself since he came to
power. That's why the NFL tried to steal him from us 2 years ago.
That is absolutely true. And guess what? Didn't work.
It's not going to happen.
In the middle of the All-Star game, we got some breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski, Brian Windhorst reporting that a change may soon be coming in Cleveland. John Beilein and the Cavs have discussed the possibility of him stepping down before the season resumes later this week. The story said, quote, "It has become increasingly apparent to the front office and the coach that the partnership is headed to an inevitable split," league sources told Woj and Brian. The story goes on to say friends and associates of Beilein have described him as unhappy, even miserable with the move to the Cavaliers, unquote. So Beilein and the Cavs, 14-40, Perk. That's the second worst record in the NBA. With the news out there that this is already being considered, does Beilein kind of have to now go ahead and resign? Can he come back to that team considering
No, he has to go. He has to pack his bags and go. And listen, Rach, you remember when the season started, I was on this show and I was not a fan of that hire. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact, when you rebuilding and now it's a players league, You have to go young. You have to go get a Damon Stoudemire who's doing well at Pacific, or even give a guy like Earl Watson another shot that'll come in and fit the culture. These are young guys. It's not college. It's different. And I know Coach Beilein, he'll get another job in college. I think that's where he fits perfect at.
The amount of stories that were coming out from the beginning of players being unhappy, and then Woj had that report a few weeks back about him saying thugs and not slugs in a meeting. It was over. There's no coming back from that, especially when you're losing at this level. So this was always what appeared to be coming. It's just coming faster than I think anybody thought.
Well, they've got J.B. Bickerstaff on that coaching staff. I would certainly expect if Beilein does step down, that's who we will see. And players already like, there's been a lot of reporting, like to go to J.B. anyway. Obviously, he has head coaching experience.
Absolutely.
So we will see how all of that plays out. Coming up, we had such a good dunk contest over the weekend. It had such a controversial finish, though. We will discuss what we would change. Stay tuned for that. We'll put up all the numbers, too. We're going deep dive. Jump analysis is coming up.
The dunk contest is officially on right now. Get your phones out, ladies and gentlemen.
That is graceful.
If he dunks over Taco, over Taco.
He's 75.
This is 1988 all over again.
This is highway robbery.
History has repeated itself here.
Welcome back to The Jump alongside Nick Friedell, Kendrick Perkins. I'm Rachel Nichols, and what you just saw was one of the best slam dunk contest duels we have ever seen. Aaron Gordon and Derrick Jones Jr. put on such a show, it required two tiebreaker rounds. The second round, of course, ending with a little bit of controversy we will get to in a moment. But I also wanted to mention Jones Jr. earned himself a multi-year shoe and apparel deal with Puma after he won. So, you know, go get your dollars, young man. For now, though, Kendrick, I want to know, just going on the straight dunks. We'll get to the judging in a minute. But if you were going to judge, who had the most impressive dunks?
Aaron Gordon. I mean, to be in the dunk contest for 3 years, you know what I mean, and come out, and this is his third year, and he's creative and showing us something new every year. Mm-hmm. I was more impressed by this guy. Every dunk he did, I was like, wow. Like, scored 47 out of, what he had, 47? 7 points out of, I mean, what he had? Yo.
Well, so he had five straight 50s.
Yeah, a lot of 50s.
Five straight 50s.
And then on the last dunk, they penalized him for grazing tackle false head?
I mean, he impressed me, like, through the roof. I mean, I'm with him all day.
Aaron Gordon was awesome. Derrick Jones Jr., though, had some unbelievably awesome dunks. He was so athletic in what he did. But this is the issue. You could nitpick on all of this. These guys both deserve to win.
Oof, look at that.
2 days later, they both deserve to win. I did not think one guy was that much better than the other guy.
Right.
And that's the issue.
Right, right. Well, look, I mean, the idea of this is it should be excellent, and you should have to pick one of them. I'm okay with someone winning. I would have liked, just because of the degree of difficulty of jumping over Taco Fall and not even planning to do it. I mean, it was right in that corner where those guys were standing. And he was sort of, there was a groundswell among the players who were standing there being like,
yeah,
Taco,
you were right
Taco,
there.
Taco, Taco.
You were right there.
This wasn't something that was planned. He didn't get to practice. So I would have liked to have seen them say, well, he did clear him. He obviously grazed him a little bit, but he got over him and got the dunk. So that would both be 50s and move on. And let's do another round. And maybe that would have broken the tie. Look, the judges didn't see it that way. Controversy again. Let's get to it a little bit here. 2 days removed, still questions. So remember on Jones' final dunk, he received a 48, but on Gordon's final dunk, he received a 47. And I want to look at the scoring here.
Mm-mm.
Because if you see what happened, what happened was...
Yeah, we saw what happened.
Right?
Yeah.
Three of the judges flipped. So we're going to get into it. Ramona Shelburne tried to get to the bottom of things. She tweeted, dunk contest judge Candace Parker, who gave Aaron Gordon a 10, said, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but check the scorecard. Dunk contest comment says, I really felt like it was an even battle. We felt the score should be even and they should just have a judge off. We had the cards. Put your card up for who had the best dunks. So that would have been a different way to handle it. Dwayne Wade had this to say to Complex, because there was, of course, so many people who thought that he purposely tried to get a win for the Heat's Derrick Jones Jr. He said, it wasn't biased. I got to the point where I wasn't the only one who gave a 9. Let's talk about that. 3 people gave a 9, of course, to Aaron Gordon. Wade also had a sense of humor about all of it, posting this GIF on Instagram that's gone viral with the captions, me reading through my comments like I was the only judge to give out a 9. He was not. So I just want to take a look here at the scores, okay? So, Dwayne Wade, as we see, he thought Aaron Gordon's jump over Taco Fall was not as good as Derrick Jones. Common said they were both the same. Now, Candace elevated her score for Aaron Gordon. So she picked Aaron Gordon over Derrick Jones Jr. in that last thing. Chadwick Boseman, he was completely consistent. Scotty went from 10 to 9 as well. So that's where those differences go, and you can see who picked what and did what.
And this is why I'm the most upset out of the dunk contest at whoever in the league office thought it was a good idea to keep Dwayne as a judge with a former teammate. After the contest had been set, and you have Derrick Jones Jr., a member of the Miami Heat, former teammate of Dwayne Wade.
I mean, I think it's TNT that has a heavy influence in that panel.
Then TNT, whoever it was, that's the person who all this anger and frustration should go towards. Because I don't blame Dwayne.
Right.
He was looking out for his guy. And the clip to me, and it floated all over the internet Saturday night, we all saw it. When everybody flashed the scores after Aaron Gordon jumped over Taco, Scotty and everybody else at that whole table looked straight at Dwayne. Like, oh, what did you do? Like, there was an understanding. This is how we're going to score this. It's going to be tied. It's going to be over. They're going to split it. And everyone turns and looks at Dwayne like, uh-oh.
The only reason why I'm just curious about this whole we were going to have it be tied thing is that 3 people flipped their numbers. So it's not like one person messed up and didn't do the same numbers. 3 people flipped their numbers.
But I think there was an understanding of what was supposed to happen at that table.
So do you think
and everybody instantly turns and looks at Dwayne Wade and goes, what?
Should we do this differently, Kendrick? One of the people involved suggested one of the quotes I read saying, oh, they should just be a judge off, basically, where someone says, okay, in total, of all of the dunks tonight, do you think this guy is the dunk contest champion or that guy? And we could have all just put our cards up. Do you like that idea?
First of all, we already knew what the deal was, Rachel, with D-Wade, all right? We knew Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, and Lonzo Mourning. They was going to have the mob people waiting for D-Wade back in Miami if he didn't vote Jones Jr. in. And listen, I'm Wakanda forever. I'm with that. But we can't have him as a judge.
Right.
All right? So in my opinion, to me, the judges need to be former dunk contest winners. Because they're the only people that could actually judge those guys because they were in those moments. Like, they were part of that, so they know the feeling. They know how it feels to go up there and be creative and stuff like that. So that's how I think you solve the problem. You
put
former winners, whether it's Nate Robinson, Zach LaVine. I don't care if you're still in the NBA. You put your former winners in there.
I like that. I like that idea a lot. Don't worry. We can talk about this dunk contest for a long time, and we're gonna. But coming up, we're also going to talk about Ben Simmons. Had several interesting quotes over the weekend talking about how much he loves playing with Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. Sounds like a good topic for a game of BS and Real Talk coming up next on The Jump. Plus, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Brian Windhorst showing how this all-star game built on the inspiration of Kobe and David Stern and showed the power of basketball. Really nice piece from last night. Check it out on the ESPN app.
Hi, I'm Kevin Agani, ahead on SportsCenter. The meaning of Mike Tomlin doubling down in his defense of Mason Rudolph today. Plus, ranking Tom Brady's best fits with NFL free agency looming. And Tim Kirchen examines if the Astros saga is good or bad for baseball. SportsCenter with Keith Olbermann and me right after PTI.
This Saturday, it's ABC Primetime with Giannis and the Bucks taking on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. That is going to be a good game. And our coverage tips with The Jump. We're your pregame show on ABC, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. You can also find us on the ESPN app. And speaking of the Sixers,
the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Seeing Doc Curse and his little player, yeah, it's the best. All right, time for another round of Real Talk BS. BS, Real Talk. First up, the Sixers. On-court chemistry between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid has been a discussion point all season. Both played well in last night's All-Star game. Some fun moments even going against each other. And here is Simmons on the subject from Saturday's Media Day.
I mean, it takes time. Not everything is supposed to be perfect. Not everything works straight away. You know, we're two different people trying to figure it out. So, I mean, I love playing with Joel. I think he's an amazing talent. And I got a lot of respect for his game. And I know he feels the same way about me. So as long as we continue to strive and go the right way, I think we're going to be fine.
All right, guys. Ben Simmons saying he loves playing with Joel. BS or Real Talk?
That's BS.
Ye of little faith, yes, both of you.
I'm not rolling with that, Ben. I mean, you may like playing with Joel, but not love. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. You tolerate Joel. Y'all tolerate each other because y'all have to. I'm not rolling.
This is two brothers. They may love each other, but do they love playing with each other? I think it's very obvious. That interview pregame with Ali LaForce last night, and Joel's talking about, well, he's asked, how do you defend Ben? He's like, we're just going to let him shoot.
Right.
You don't say that with somebody you love playing with? I mean, are you kidding me? So I'm not buying it. I think they have a respect and a love for each other as teammates over time.
Yes.
But do they love playing with each other?
I think that's all fair. I do think the truth is kind of in the middle when it gets to them, right? Things get so blown out of proportion because they are not a natural X and O fit. And honestly, they're not similar personalities. They do, I think, like each other. I've been around them.
Yeah.
But they are not similar personalities. So the narrative is all the way jumped to they hate each other. They hate playing to each other. They both want the other one out of there. I don't think that's true.
I mean, there can be nuance in the NBA, Rach?
It's weird. Whereas, again, to your guys' point, maybe the all the way on the other end isn't true either. It's almost like it's in the middle. I want to move ahead to the ending of last night's All-Star game. Anthony Davis was at the line, needing 1 point for the win. Now, he missed his first attempt pretty badly. He's got a very high free throw percentage, by the way. So when he sunk the second one for the win, here is what he said after the game.
I told my team I was going to miss the first one and put a little bit more pressure on myself here at home. So I made it look good. I made the miss look good, back rim. And then, you know, went up to the line, crowd going crazy. The team down is booing me. You know, Trae Young coming on the floor, touching my hand. And so I just wanted to make sure I put a little extra pressure on myself to knock down the second one.
Yeah, totally just wanted to put extra pressure on himself. Nick, he missed the first one on purpose. BS or Real Talk?
I mean, you already know. You already know exactly what this is.
What do you got, too? Yeah.
That's BS. AD, listen, man, you know I know you, man. You didn't miss that on purpose, man. You wanted to make that, man. You're not going to sit up here and tell me the sky green and the grass blue and think I'm a believer.
Well, especially since all his teammates, as soon as he shot the first one, were like, oh, it's going in. LeBron was already off the blocks, and he was like, uh-oh, what?
Right.
They didn't tell anybody that he was trying to miss. I think he was trying to believe the tale over time because he went and said the same thing to Ramona on the radio a few minutes later.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that was sarcasm on his point.
Oh, right.
Sarcasm twice.
I'm just saying, because clearly it's not true. Next up, AD's teammate DeMarcus Cousins has sat out all season with an ACL tear, but listen to what Frank Vogel said this weekend.
He's on track to get healthy by the playoffs, and we'll have to see, you know, where he's at with rhythm and conditioning and timing and all that stuff, but there's a possibility he returns this season, yes.
All right. Frank Vogel saying it is possible DeMarcus Cousins may play and return for them in the playoffs. BS or Real Talk?
That's Real Talk.
Really?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Why?
For the simple fact that I had an ACL injury, and I know it only take 5 to 6 months, and I went to the Lakers game, seen Boogie working out. He looked good. And it's not if he's going to come back. It's when he come back, what role is he going to play? So I think it's Real Talk that he comes back. Now, if he plays, that's the question.
Right.
Whether or not it's BS or Real Talk.
And we just watched this. We all did last year. Mm-hmm. He fought through injury after injury in the playoffs to go back into the finals with the Warriors.
There is a finals game the Warriors won that they would not have won without Boogie Cousins.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's a different dynamic with the Lakers. And I guess my question is, the Lakers are stacked with bigs. Mm-hmm. If everyone stays healthy, where does he fit in? And one thing that was delicate with the Warriors at the end of last season was they were trying to integrate him back, and Boogie sees himself, of course, as a starter. I mean, he's been a multi-time All-Star.
Right.
Right? So I assume that he would have, I mean, he's been great with that team so far with the Lakers, and I assume he'd have a team first sort of ethic about it, but you still feel that you're someone who should play, right?
Absolutely.
What if he's healthy and available but doesn't play?
Yeah, but I mean, that's when, you know, Coach Vogel, Coach Jay Kidd got to come in and be honest with him. The one thing about it is that you have a veteran championship coach, a locker room that's going to, you know, tell they honest with each other. So, you know, I think Boogie, you know, sometimes you have reality checks, and I think he knows his role, and I think he knows if he come back, he's basically going to be an insurance policy, in my opinion.
Well, look, I mean, he has worked and worked and worked. To your point, he had a huge major injury, played a little bit, got injured again, worked his way back in time to make it for the finals. As soon as this injury happened in Las Vegas over the summer, he has worked and worked, and he has been with that team. As I said, he's already a real part of their locker room chemistry, so we'll see what happens.
I will say this, though, Rach. He's still a walking double-double, though. I'm not going to discredit him.
No, I mean, it's just too much of a good thing. Yeah. Well, as Frank Vogel says, it's never the worst problem to have, so we'll see. Up next, I want to talk about Chris Paul, because, man, he played great last night. He is going to sit down with our Maria Taylor to talk about how he's been able to refresh his career in year 15. First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one is from this date in 2009 from a former dunk contest participant. Take a look. Oh, hello, Shannon Brown.
Fell asleep there. Brown.
Oh, give me that. You know what that is? Rachel, I know what's going on the jump today. We represent class of 2003. Mickey D's class, my boy Shannon Brown. Let me get that.
Wow.
Look at that. In a minute.
2003.
High noon is minutes away. Pablo and I will discuss if the NBA All-Star format should be here to stay.
Did Derrick Jones Jr. really deserve to win the slam dunk contest?
Is a right of Major League Baseball to protect the Astros?
And how far are the Raiders willing to go in their pursuit of Tom Brady? Stay tuned.
NBA action returning to ESPN on Friday night. Doubleheader featuring Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets taking on Chris Paul and the Thunder. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central. And then Zion and the Pelicans visit the Blazers. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 7 o'clock Eastern. All right, it is crunch time here on The Jump. Miles Bridges won the Rising Stars Challenge MVP. Now, Bridges tweeted at halftime what ended up as a precursor to what he was going to do in the second half, leading a furious Team USA comeback.
Ooh.
So, Nick, has the NBA had this wrong? Should we have been allowing halftime tweets this whole time?
Hell yes. Tell me why, Rick. Tell me why not. Tell me why shouldn't guys go to their phone? Because you know it's going to be, oh, you're terrible. You can't do it. It'll motivate them coming out
well,
into the second
guys
half.
Guys go to their phones anyway.
Anyway.
They just want to have that public interaction.
If you can go back and forth, if you go at some random fan somewhere.
It's good.
That is a good thing.
I agree.
Can you imagine if you gave Joel Embiid the allowance to tweet during the game?
I'm about to go out here and kill third quarter.
Right?
That's what that dude in Omaha who was giving me some stuff.
There you go. Welcome back. So before CP3's throwback performance helping Team LeBron win the All-Star game, he sat down with our Maria Taylor to talk about the revitalization of his career, what it was like being traded to the Thunder, and the first half of the season with OKC. Take a listen.
What a shot from Chris Paul. Take that step back. And it goes.
Is he not remarkable?
Chris Paul, are you kidding me?
Congratulations on your 10th All-Star.
Thank you.
How does it feel different from the first nine?
It's a lot different. Probably because it's been a while. But always grateful for even the opportunity to be here.
Describe where you are on the evolution of your career.
I'm sort of like refreshed, actually. I was having an amazing time out in L.A., and that first year in Houston was unbelievable. It was just a different way of playing, you know, but the ultimate goal was to win a championship. But in that time, had that terrible injury, you know, being injured, you can lose confidence, all this different type of stuff going through your head, you know what I mean? But it's been refreshing being in Oklahoma, and the biggest thing, too, is being healthy.
Take me back to the moment you found out you were getting traded to Oklahoma.
It's crazy when the trade happened. You know, basketball-wise, I wasn't tripping. I was just mad that, you know, my family, that whole situation. But I was already putting the work in for right now. So when the trade happened, it was like, all right, that's cool. I'm working.
Describe what that's been like for you, because I know how close you are with your family and having to do this away from them in Oklahoma City.
It's been tough. It's been tough, but I can see the positives and the negatives. You know what I mean? I think one of the positives is that it's really allowed me to hone in on my body and my time and doing all that different type stuff. But that's still not my normal. After games, I'm used to seeing my kids, seeing my wife, and spending that time with them. So, you know, this season is what it is. We're going to keep riding it out, keep figuring it out, but I'm having a lot of fun.
CP is showing us that he's the best leader in basketball.
I actually picked the Oklahoma City Thunder to make the playoffs. You can never count out Chris Paul.
Oklahoma City sitting sixth in the West, 33 wins going into All-Star break. And if you talked to some of the experts beforehand, no one would have believed you guys would be here. What did you expect from this team when the season started?
I expected our record to be better. I think we started off like 6-11.
What was the turning point then? Or what changed? What clicked?
We just started playing better. I think through those sort of trials earlier in the season when we were losing those closer games, we were learning. Now when we get into all these close games, we expect to win. And we sort of know what we're going to do. So to have 33 wins, you can't go back. We're happy where we are and we're going to keep growing.
Thank you, Maria and Chris. We're going to have more interviews from All-Star Weekend all week on The Jump. Tomorrow you can hear my sit down with Dwayne Wade. All right, guys, the modified format of last year's All-Star Game produced one of the most competitive, exciting games in years. After the game, Giannis explained his team's offensive strategy in the intense fourth quarter. Here's what he said.
Offensively, we were just trying to, you know, find whoever, you know, James Harden was guarding. You know, that's who we thought we're going to have the opportunity to score on. And obviously, you cannot go wrong. You know, Kemba, Kyle, JL, me, Siakam, everybody's great players. You know, whoever has the ball, he's going to make a play for, you know, the guy next to him, and it's going to be good because, you know, we all have great players.
By the way, I want to add a quick great note. Giannis just tweeting that Team Giannis is going to collectively donate an additional $100,000 to his team charity, which is After School Matters, right? Beautiful. So remember, in the third quarter of the game, there was that $100,000 that was on the line.
Why didn't they just split it? Why didn't the league just split that?
Well, maybe it's just, again, to have skin in the game. So they rolled it over to the fourth quarter, and he is saying, well, we're going to then take it on and donate. I want to stress, by the way, a lot of people very concerned about the kids being there. They got a lot. Both charities got a lot of money. It's not like the NBA sent anyone home with, like, you know, a piece of paper and a paper clip. Well, I was trying to figure out what they'd be sending them home with. Maybe this, maybe a sign, I don't know. They sent them home with hundreds of thousands of dollars. So in that platform, it was fun to see some competition.
And they got to meet the players.
They got to meet the players. They had a great night. And a really, by the way, statement of the NBA for the whole weekend. I want to stress, the league had more than 40 community events. Players are visiting hospitals. They're doing these NBA care projects that you saw one Barack Obama come up and be involved in. This is an intrinsic part of who the NBA is, the NBA cares arm of the league. And the fact that it was instituted right and baked into the All-Star game, I love, because it put that front and center. And it's such an important mandate for the league. All right, this just in at the buzzer. Kyrie Irving replacing Pau Gasol as a vice president of the Players Association. Gasol's 3-year term expired. Perk, what is your reaction there?
What?
What do you mean, what?
What? Who?
You remember Kyrie Irving?
Oh, I'm so glad I'm retired. I'm glad I didn't start him. I'm so glad I'm out the league. That's all I got to say. Because I'm telling you, that's the blind leading the blind.
Kendrick.
No, I'm saying. Oh, no, I'm glad.
Kyrie Irving is a smart guy.
Very smart. Does he have the respect of the players behind him?
Well, he won a vote, so apparently, yes. Thanks to these guys, we're all going to be back tomorrow. So we'll just continue that discussion then.